Take your Bibles and turn to the book of, and if the Light Brigade was in here, I just have to look at them and ask them, what book? And they say Philippians. So yes, the book of Philippians. But if you're in Light Brigade and you're in here, we're not going to, if you're not in here because you're all down in junior church, or no, we're not going to chapter 2. We're going to fast forward all the way to chapter 3. Chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. Now, I talked this morning for a few moments, preached about what is your confidence in, where have you placed your confidence, what is your confidence? Confidence is something that in life you will hear people talk about a lot. Like some people have confidence in something, and some people, you know, even in sports right now, I mean, we're in the middle of football and we're in the middle of playoffs in baseball, and we can talk about people having confidence in their ability and confidence in their pitching, and this team has got confidence in their offense, and this team has got confidence in their ability to win because the team they're playing against has an ability to lose. There's so many things that people have confidence in, but the reality is every single one of us has an eternity, and what you've placed your confidence in will determine that eternity. It will. Now, I don't know everybody in this room. I mean, I don't know the heart of everybody in this room. I know most of the people in this room. I don't know the heart of everybody in this room. But when it comes to eternity, what you're trusting in is your confidence.
Right.
And what you're trusting in will determine your eternity. If you're there in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses. I'll appreciate if you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and get this, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained in me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we've looked at your word, we've read your word, and it's indeed true. And we ask that you would speak to us this morning. May you bless us. May we lift you up and honor you and glorify you in all that's said and all that's done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Confidence. There the Apostle Paul is describing what confidence can be. Some have confidence in the flesh, and he's talking about their eternal security. He's talking about their direction, where they are going, and that he's pointing out that some people, some might say they have confidence in the flesh as they are dealing with in the book. In Philippi, they're dealing with people that are adding works to salvation. They're dealing with people that are saying, yeah, the gospel said that. Yeah, that's what Jesus Christ did. Yeah, I know that's true, but you got to do this. But this is important. And I know we know that there are many people around us that hold to the works of the flesh. There's got to be something that I must do that I might have eternal life. But I remember that Philippian jailer, one of the best phrases in the scriptures, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen, we need to understand, in order for salvation to be real for any man, woman, boy, or girl, the thing that is only thing that matters is where they put their confidence in, where they put their trust in. Now, Paul's making a statement here as he's pointing out, some say, I've got confidence in the flesh. And he points out, you might say you have confidence in the flesh, but if someone were to have confidence in the flesh, I could have the most confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes to explain why, if someone could have confidence in the flesh, he explains, this is why I would have confidence in the flesh, because my works are awesome. My nationality, I'm not just a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Bless God, I'm not just American, I'm a real American. Just touching the law, I've memorized the Bible. I'm a Pharisee. I've done it all. He's saying that to say, no, confidence in the flesh is vain. But let's take this and examine this, because it's important for us to hear in this room, because there could be someone here that's put their confidence in their flesh. There could be somebody in this room that says, well, I grew up in a Christian home. I've gone to church all my life. My parents have taught Sunday school. All this has happened. Of course I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist after all. I can tell you what the distinctives of the faith are. I can tell you all that. I've memorized half the scriptures my Sunday school teacher told me to do. I'm great. But that's putting confidence in the flesh. See, we understand this. That just because you grow up in a Christian home and your parents are saved, that doesn't mean their salvation extends to you. We understand this. And I'll say that, and we'll get through what we're teaching but and what we're preaching, but we need to understand our confidence does not, and this message may seem more like a salvation message, but every time we hear a message that is about salvation, we also understand that that has to do with my position before Christ. If I have confidence in my eternal life, then I know I need to be busy about his work. So confidence is an important thing. Some people might trust their flesh. Some people might trust their works. But also, how many people do you work with that you know they probably don't have real confidence? How many people do you work with that might be trusting their flesh? And when you say trusting the flesh, this is what the flesh involves. Confidence in the flesh can mean putting confidence in our works. That means confidence in the practice of what they prescribe to. Confidence in practices. There's some doctors, I'm not confident with the practice. Actually, I don't have never been one. And some people can practice a positional reality, but not a real reality. Some people can adopt, I like that, that's what I am. Some people can put on the right clothes. Some people can practice really good and not be. How many times have you heard somebody get arrested for impersonating a police officer? They went through the motions. They may even dress right. Some of them even had a badge. Some of them even had a gun. Some of them even have a police car with lights on it. And you observe them throughout the day, they practice the actions of a police officer. Sometimes there have been cases where they pulled people over, they've written citations, and even made arrests. Did that mean they were a police officer? Some people put on the clothes of a Christian. Some people talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian. They have the practice of a Christian. Where is their confidence? You get up to heaven. Why should you come in? Lord, have we not? Have we not done this? Well, let's look at that passage of scripture. Matthew chapter 7. I like it when my Bible just flips right to it without trying. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22. It says, many will say to me in that day, many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in the name, in thy name? That's a practice. They were practicing a religion. They're practicing a work. Have we not prophesied in the name? Well, I've proclaimed your word. I knew your truth. I proclaimed it to others. And in thy name have cast out devils. Hey, listen, that's an important note. It's the authority in the name of the Christ that has power. Not us. And in thy name, and of course here, this is just people saying they've done it. Not necessarily meaning they have done it. But they're saying, I've done these works. I've had this practice in my life, cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Practice. They had confidence. The Bible says there, Matthew chapter 7, there's going to be many people in that day that had put their confidence and eternity in their works, in their practice. That's putting confidence in flesh. I've done many wonderful works. I've gone out and I've fed the hungry. I've given to charity. I've brought people to church. I've loved people. I've acted out in benevolence toward many people. I saw needs. I met needs. I've done many wonderful works. I've extended sacrifice to people. But I've done all of this in your name. And the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Many people put their confidence in their practice. And at the end of their life, as they enter in eternity, if their confidence was in their practice, the very God of heaven, the Lord, the righteous judge, is judging them, is going to say, those were works of iniquity. Boy. Hey, Christian, by the way, we can also do works of iniquity. How? Well, if you do something without God involved in it, it's a work of the flesh. If you do something, there's Saul. He's the greatest example for this. God said, Saul, do this. I think it'd be better if I did this. Draws for a good cause. God's going to appreciate my sacrifice. He's going to love it. Saul, have you obeyed the voice of the Lord? Yep, I've done all that the Lord commanded. Think again, Saul. Christian, sometimes we need to think again. Have we done what was commanded? What? If you love me, keep my commandments. If we're not keeping his commandments and exercising a walk as a Christian by practice, and if we're not keeping his commandments, what does God see? Does God see our obedience or does God see our sacrifice? God always looks at obedience. Works of the flesh do not equal obedience. Amen. For salvation, for your Christian walk with God. God's looking for obedience. I can work, but the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know you said that, God, but I thought you'd be satisfied with my exercise. He wasn't satisfied with Cain's exercise. And he's not satisfied with our exercise if it's not obedience. It could be practice. This is just a performance. God can look at you and say, well, that was a nice show you put down on earth, but it was a fake. That's all it was. It was theatrics. And I am the best critic on theatrics there is because I know the great deceiver and I kicked him out of here. We can't deceive God. We can't put a life together and say, hey, I have excelled the Christian walk. I have lived the life of a Christian. But if it's trusting in flesh, that's all it was a performance. You know, we need to be careful about performances too. Yeah. I need to be careful about performances. This is something I don't even need to talk to you about. Performance is easy to do. It's easy to go about your day, get to work and talk and act like the best Christian there is, but when you forgot to spend time with God, how much of a Christian are you? You know what it means to be Christ-like? To do the things that Christ did. And if I'm not doing the things that Christ did, I'm not Christ-like, which is really not Christian. How about that? So if I'm not doing what Christ did, having that good communication with God, having that walk with God, having the desire to be about my Father's business, then I'm really not Christ-like, am I? See, I can go put a performance out when in reality, I may not even be Christ-like. I can put a Christ show. But people will get there to eternity and they put confidence in their performance. I've exercised it, I've done it, I've polished it, it looks right. But it just gets burned up with the wood, hay, and stubble. That would be a sad end of one's life. But that's what happens when we put our confidence in the wrong thing. Confidence in our works. Some people put confidence in their identity. There in Philippians chapter 3, as Paul was talking, circumcised the eighth day in verse number 5, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, in Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was it. You didn't get anybody that was more national Hebrew. I mean, I was one of God's chosen people. That was me. Nobody was closer to identifying with what God loves than me. He loves us. Bless God, I'm American. Our Christian culture, founding fathers, heritage, the history. You know, in my identity, in culture, in society, in nationality, that's nothing to God. That's nothing to God. My identity as a person, that's nothing to God. You know, even the most intelligent person alive, all they are doing in intelligence is learning what came about with God thinking.
Right.
Oh, I'm smart. You've learned the crumbs that fell from the master's heavens. Wow. That puts us into perspective. The only thing that matters is if God looks at our heart and realizes that that heart identifies with Christ.
Yeah.
Does identity matter? Hey, oh, it sure does. Who are you identifying with? We can identify with the flesh or identify with Christ. As a lost person, to identify with flesh is to say, me who I am is good enough. Too many people are there.
Yeah.
We live in a very... It's a sick society when people just think, I'm good. I don't need help. And it's just like they don't even, I don't know, around here it's hard, especially because you've got so many extremes. You've got those that they've gone far off to the other edge and they're like, they're wicked. I mean, I've said this before to some people, but one of the last Sundays I was knocking doors before my wife and I moved to Oklahoma. I knocked on the door. I didn't even finish saying what church I was from when he says, I'm an atheist, my wife's a witch. Slam! And that was someone who cared enough to talk. Usually it's like, I don't care. I don't know how many times I've heard that. It doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned. I don't care. And there's so many people that are like that. They just don't care. They're still trusting in their flesh.
Right.
They think they're okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I know they're not. That means I'm not too. Look, I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but I can still trust in my flesh.
Yeah.
I can still go about my business in the flesh. And I've learned this. No, you can't do more than you can do. And as a Christian, what am I to do? This isn't really kind of a side note here, but what I can do is just say, okay, God, it's yours. When I try to do too much, it's a sign that I'm in the flesh. I gotta get this done, and I gotta get that done, and I gotta accomplish that. And I can so easily get ahead of God. But I've noticed when I say, God, what is it that you desire me to do today? How can I serve you? You know, God does lead me. You know the times that I've had more people come, I have more opportunities to witness when as the day starts, I'm saying, God, will you bring somebody across my path so that I may witness? When I'm asking for God to do that, you know what I've noticed? I've got too many people to witness to. But when I don't even think about it and I'm not on my knees before God saying, help me be a witness, give me opportunity, I still have the opportunities, but I've noticed I don't notice them because I'm exercising my faith in the flesh and I'm being a Christian in practice and performance. But I need to be a Christian in sincerity. My confidence needs to be in Christ. I can have confidence in the flesh. I can have confidence in my performance. I can have confidence in my identity. All this type of stuff I can have confidence in. This is what Paul's explaining. I can have confidence in this. Confidence in the flesh. Confidence in my position. Confidence in my nationality. Confidence in my identity. But he also points this out. We can also have confidence in our religion. I've barely mentioned this. But he says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, I did mention some of this, but this is a real thing that he's talking about. Now, we might not understand what Paul says when he's talking about this, but really this means I've spent my whole life learning the law. I've spent my whole life preparing to be in the seat of some of the most prestigious people in the Hebrew culture. He spent his life doing that. And you can say this, I've spent my life preparing to go to Bible college to get this degree and to get that degree and do this and know so much that it's just, I know all the answers to know. I just like to know the questions personally. Forget that. If you at least know what the question is, I don't even know. But here's the thing. People trust in religion. And that's their confidence. Because I grew up doing this. I grew up going to church. I sang in the choir. I did that. Worked in Sunday school classes. I can think of quite a few men I know that used to be like faithful, doing all this sort of stuff, and you can't even identify it. Because there's a time in their life that they were just trusting in the flesh, and I don't even know if they were actually saved. That's actually beside the point, because they're getting up there someday. It's all going to matter. It's all going to matter. Where's your confidence? You can be sitting here, and like me, you can say, I grew up in church. I was always involved. I was going soul winning. I did what I could. Where is your confidence, though? Is your confidence in what you've been doing, or is your confidence in the Christ of Calvary? Yeah. That makes a difference. See, if your confidence isn't in him, you got troubles. If your confidence is not in Christ, I dare you, figure it out. Because if you don't have your confidence in Christ and you step out into eternity, it's going to be too late. And we'll know right away, I shouldn't have trusted self. I should have just said, okay, God, I'll accept your way. We can have confidence in religion. Religion never saved anybody. It's never done that. You know, religion is for something that for religion is for people that are saved. Look at the book of James. It's for people that are saved. Pure religion is this. And it gives us an example of what, and it details us what religion is. But that's for people that are saved. That's our works. That's how we work out our obedience to God. But that's what people do. They take that. That's what religion is. I'll apply that to my life. But if they don't have confidence in Christ and they apply that pattern of religion to their life, that still doesn't fix the problem in their heart. No amount of giving to charity pays off the debt of sin. No amount of work in the church pays off the debt of sin. No amount of Bible memorization pays off the debt of sin. And I'll say this, no amount of preaching pays off the debt of sin. No amount of teaching pays off the debt of sin. No amount of praying for everybody around you pays off the debt of sin. No amount of works of the flesh can possibly pay off the debt of sin. The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint. Hey, do you want to break your foot and run a race? We had a Mariners loss yesterday. Their catcher played late almost the whole game with a broken thumb. Does anybody want to go do that? That's why they lost, by the way. the flesh is frail. And if you put your flesh, if you put your confidence, your trust in the flesh, it's like a foot out of joint. And I don't know about you, but if I hurt my ankle, I'm kind of done running. It's not in me. I don't like doing it. Almost don't like running now anyway. Have you ever heard of this thought of our life as like a race? If you put your confidence in flesh, it's weak. And it's broken. It's not going to get you to the finish line. Our flesh can't get us to the finish line. Yet, some people have confidence in the flesh. That's a sad reality. What's your confidence in? Amen. Our identity? Our works? Our religion? Our traditions? It's sad to look at the scripture and look at Christ in his earthly ministry and how his heart was broken for his own. But his own received him not. His own kept coming. Moses said this. But their traditions, their works, their flesh blinded them to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too many people, all around us, people today, they have that same issue. They've got traditions. They've got things that they've always done. Because this, and they don't turn to the truth because of what they've always done. I tell you, if your life is backwards from the Word of God, examine yourself. If it's not in line with God's Word, if your life is not in line with God's Word, there's a disconnect. Amen. And you've put your confidence in the wrong thing. Now, you could be saved, and you're just kind of living your right life out of order. And the same principle can apply. Somebody's lost, and they have their hope of eternal life out of order. They're thinking, self is good enough. God's going to accept what I've done because he's going to look at how much I've tried. And since he's loving, and since he's kind, he's just going to accept the works that I have done because he just loves me. I wish that were true, in a way. But I know what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that if you've not believed on the name of the Son of God, you're condemned already. So God sees your works, and to him there's nothing but filthy rags. That's traditions. Traditions to God, nothing but filthy rags. They're not going to give you a ticket into heaven. Not going to work. The traditions, our goodness. I'm such a good person. Oh my. Can you just stop here? I'm going to tell you for a while just how good of a person I am. No, let's not. Oh, I've had people tell me how good they were.
Right.
I've had people tell me, oh, I help people. In fact, I remember one guy, he was so good that he could heal people. I don't know if I didn't laugh at him. I tried not to. But he'd talk about how good he was and about what he could do and the things that God let him do. I'm like, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible's talking about. And if you've deluded yourself into believing a lie, you got problems. Oh, that's it, though. Goodness. We've deluded ourselves into thinking my goodness matters in light of who he is.
Right.
So, compared to somebody, I must be pretty good.
Yeah,
compared to somebody. Compared to him?
Yep.
See, when our flesh thinks I'm good enough, they've missed something. What about God? What about God? I inherited a book that was written from the commanding officer of the Lexington during World War II, before he lost the Lexington. Then he got transferred to the Yorktown, and Then he lost the Yorktown. And for some reason, they gave him another carrier, but I don't know what it... But his book, it explained what happened in one of the crucial battles during World War II in the Pacific. The Americans had this idea that they just loved torpedo bombers. But for whatever reason, they forgot to do something. They decided it was okay to use their old torpedoes from World War I. And they had a bad habit of bouncing off ships, and they weren't any good. But they used them. And this particular day, they sent their wave after wave after wave of torpedo bombers. And they just didn't do anything. And eventually the Japanese said, okay, yeah, they're stuck on this, they'll do that. So they sent all their air squadrons down. Just kept them down on the floor because they're waiting for their torpedo bombers. I'll tell you what, they did something that day. They forgot to look up. Before they realized, there is a whole flight of American dive bombers over them. It was too late. There was nothing they could do. Those bombers screamed down, obliterated several carriers, destroyed a couple cruisers, actually. They did. They had a good day. But the Japanese, they did something. They forgot to look up. In our flesh, we forget to look up. We get so comfortable on controlling our life on the level that we can see horizontally. And we're doing pretty good because we're on top of it. We've destroyed all the opposition. We've handled it. Everything's good, but we forget to look up. I can think of some people in the scripture that forgot to look up. Saul forgot to look up. Goliath forgot to look up. Who is God? He forgot to look up. How often do we forget to look up? The lost around us, they forgot to look up. They're forgetting to look up. That's where we come in. Hey, you need to look up. You need to tell your coworkers, you need to look up. The arm of flesh will fail you. It's not going to work. Your confidence in the flesh is going to get you nowhere. You do have an eternity. Look up. You know what makes coworkers look up? If I live like the world, they're not going to look up. The Bible tells us that by my good works, men will see my Father and glorify Him which is in heaven. So if I act like Christ, as a Christian putting my confidence in Christ, living a life for Christ, I will cause those around me to look up. You know why the lost is not looking up anymore? Because we've got them comfortable looking down. You know why that's why separation is so important? Because if we look like the world, they're going to be comfortable with us and forget about God. But when we dress to honor God, and we live to honor God, and we conduct ourselves to honor God, and we talk like to honor God, yeah, it causes the world to, there is a God?
Yeah.
Wait. Do I have to be careful what I do?
Yeah.
am I going to be judged? Yes, if you're lost, you're going to get judged. You know what happens if the judgment starts now? See, if the world realizes that if they put their confidence in the flesh and that's going to fail them, it will cause them to seek, okay, where must I put my confidence in? I'm going to face eternity. How do I look up? Christian, how do we get them to look up? Well, first of all, we've got to be doing right ourselves. We can put our confidence in the flesh, but our confidence must be in the cross. And this is what Paul explains. Our confidence must be in the cross. And he says this in verse number 8 as he starts shifting gears from talking about the works of the flesh and then placing our confidence in Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. He points out everything about this temporal earth is nothing but complete garbage. You want to teach and you want to show how people put confidence in Christ? By act like this world's nothing worth living for.
Amen.
When we act like this world is worth living for, we give the world confidence in their flesh. Did you get that? When we act like this world is worth living for, we give the world confidence in their flesh. And I don't know about you, but that scares me. Because I get to give an account to God. And he's going to say, you remember when you did that? Well, you weren't paying attention, but so-and-so saw that, and he thought he was okay. We must, as a Christian, have our... I mean, my confidence is in Christ. I know where my eternity is. How's that reflect in my life? The world can place their confidence in the flesh, and we've looked at that. We've looked about the world. They can put the confidence in the flesh, in their works, in their identity, in their religion. But that's not the answer. The answer is always to put our confidence in the cross. The way of the flesh will fail, but Christ is sufficient. He is sufficient. The sacrifice of Christ is acceptable. I love the picture of that perfect lamb. The Old Testament presents it. Before the Passover, it was known, if you don't cover the mantle and the doorpost with the blood, when he passes by, there's going to be death. But that perfect lamb, with the blood shed and the blood applied, confidence. Tonight, we can rest easy knowing my son will live. And that was confidence. Because they knew, I've obeyed, my son will live. I guarantee you, in some Egyptian home, there was a lack of confidence in some. I'm not sure. I also suggest to you, there was probably in another Egyptian home a confidence that it's not going to happen. I'm going to be fine. Because I've exercised my traditions of Egyptian religion. I've pat my lucky cat. I've been licked by my lucky cow. That's what the world does. That's what the world does. And they wonder why their life's messed up. They put confidence in the flesh. Christ is acceptable. He's the only one that is acceptable. The righteousness of Christ is sufficient. Now, we need to hurry up because somebody was listening too slowly. But Romans chapter 3, Christ... The righteousness of Christ is sufficient. My flesh that I would desire to have confidence in is not sufficient. And the lost will one day, they will get up to heaven and they'll realize if you're not saved and if you get to heaven, you're going to realize your flesh is not sufficient. Your works are not sufficient. Your sacrifices were not sufficient. Because really, there's only one thing that is sufficient. Romans chapter 3, verse number 19, the Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world. All the world. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh. Oh, do you get that? All the world before God will be guilty. And by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody's sufficient. No works, no law, no pattern, no traditions, no religion is sufficient. Right. It's all. There's guilt. There's guilt and there's unjustified. You guilt. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith upon Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. That passage of Scripture is so plain. Before God, all the world is guilty, and no flesh is justified. But through Christ, the justifier, his righteousness is applied. His righteousness has been applied in my life.
Amen.
That's where my confidence is. My confidence is in his acceptance to God. God considered him acceptable. God considered him the righteous. He's the justifier. I wasn't justified, but it was through him that I was justified. Faith in Christ is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no shortcut around Jesus Christ being the justifier.
Amen.
We try to get to heaven on our flesh or on our works. That's trying to go around. The problem of going around that issue is going around the issue of the fact that I'm guilty.
Right.
And the justifier is the only one who can take the guilt away. The gospel of Christ is the only power that gives confidence.
Amen.
When I get to heaven, and if God were to look at me and say, "What makes you think I'd let you in here?" I can only say there's no reason of myself, but the blood of Jesus has been applied. I am bought with a price. I'm bought. My confidence is not in me. It's not in my flesh. It's not in my works. It is only in the fact that there came a day when I realized I'm lost. I'm undone. I need a Savior. I've got confidence. If you're here this morning, I hope you have confidence too. If you don't have confidence, and when I mean confidence, it means that if you were to go to heaven and God would ask, "Why should I let you in here?" would you be able to say, "I'm here because of," some will say, "I don't know. I think I'm a good person. I went to church. I was polite on the road. I did good things. I didn't do bad things. I'm better than that person." But if you can't say, because of Jesus Christ,
right,
you do not have confidence in eternity. If you're here this morning and you don't have confidence, I encourage you, in a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. And if you don't know for sure where your eternity is, today's the accepted time. But also, Christian, if you're living like your confidence is in your flesh, this is what your problem is. You're telling the world it's okay. You know what you're telling them? That God's like Santa Claus. He's just a good story. He gets me through the tough times in life. He's my crutch. No, he's the ship of Zion. He's the deliverer of your soul. He's your sustainer. How you put your confidence in Christ tells him what you think about him. And it's also evident in how you live your life. I encourage you this morning, Christian, what have you put your confidence in living in? Have you put your confidence in your traditions? Because, well, I've always been a Christian. Always been to church. I'm just doing Christian-y things because that's what Christians do. They do Christian-y things. It's much more than that. As a Christian, I have confidence in his work in my life. And I want him to work in my life. I don't want to go through life like an inner tube on a white water rapid river, just tossed and tossed. No, I want to be anchored. You have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.